All right. If you have your outline, or I should say your bulletin, on the back of the bulletin is the outline. We're going to continue the study in the Holy Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit. We want to kind of do a quick review, and we'll just start with this. In the first week, we looked at the fact that we need to be seeking those undeniable moments where we can see the Spirit at work. We need to be sensitive to see Him at work around us. A lot of times people will talk about experiences they've been in. They'll say, well, I was in this traffic situation. It was a near miss or a near hit or however you describe that. And say, wow, somebody must have been watching out for me. Or maybe you've been praying about something. You've been praying about somebody facing a surgery and it went well. You're like, wow, somebody was listening. We need to have those moments, I believe, more and more where we invite the Holy Spirit to walk with us on a moment-by-moment basis. That's what this study is all about. The second week, we looked at when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we need a demonstration. When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he said, my words that I brought to you were not intended to be some kind of persuasive presentation. It was not about what I was wearing when I gave you that presentation. It was not about the structure of the sentences I used. It was a demonstration about the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. The third week we talked about this. The Holy Spirit is the master mechanic. And I don't want to do this every week, but I'll maybe this one more time, put a plug in for Gary Springer, who is, in my book, the master mechanic. And if you don't, you need to have him on speed dial. He has a way of diagnosing those things that you don't see. Noises you may hear, things you may feel as you're trying to get down the road, but he has the computer and the skill to get under the hood and find that thing and know exactly what it is. And I promise you, 99.9% of the time, he is right on, okay? The other point one is, it can't be fixed, all right? Let me just tell you that, all right? But otherwise, we're good. But the Holy Spirit wants to do that in our life. He wants to work in ways that we can't look inside and know about, but He can. And so our responsibility is to say, Holy Spirit, come in. I'm getting out of the way. You come in. Then we talked about, in the following week, what He wants to do in us. The scripture we saw was in Ephesians chapter 3, and Paul was praying this over the Christians in Ephesus, that I am seeking that God, out of His glorious and limited resources, would empower you with inner strength through His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will go deep into God's love and keep you strong. Today I want us to look at the point of having a real relationship with the Holy Spirit, a real relationship. It's huge. When we think about when we live in a land and in a time where we can just about have anything we want, the most important thing we need to know is that He wants to do what this scripture says. Apart from the cars we drive, the homes we live in, the jobs we have, the clothes we wear, He wants to do something to strengthen us inside out with His Holy Spirit. I brought a couple of cans this morning, and who knows? The labels are gone. As we look at Galatians chapter 4 today, we're going to see Paul writing to a group of people that were stuck. There were some people who were trying to get along by the law of Moses, and Paul comes along and says, you know what? You need to get beyond. The law was good. The law kept us on track. The law helped us navigate along the way, but now we live in a different time. There was another group that came along that got to know who Jesus was, and they were all about grace. So the people that were hung up on the law were trying to squeeze the people who were into grace into their mold. And Paul comes along and writes a letter, and he says, you know what? It's not about what's on the outside. It's about what's on the inside and what the Spirit wants to do on your inside. We'll be in Galatians chapter 4 in just a minute or two. The thing is this. One of these cans has peaches in it, in light syrup. Great for a fruit salad. The other can has some diced tomatoes. Great for making chili. Now the thing is, you don't want to put, unless you're some weirdo, you don't want to put sliced peaches in your chili, and you definitely don't want to put diced tomatoes in your fruit salad. But as you and I look at this can, we don't have a clue which is which, but the goal is to allow the Holy Spirit get inside of us and to do what He wants to do, to make us what He wants to make us, to put us where He wants to put us. That's what, because they in that day and we in our day are all about the outside, aren't we? What's the label? What's the language? What's the dress? What's the hair? What's the nails? The places we go, the activities we do. It's all about that. But what he wants to do for us is have a real relationship. The hard thing is, you're like, Jim, I can't see what's in the can. That's right. But the Holy Spirit knows what's inside of us. That's our focus this morning. We live in a day where everything is built around performance, what's on the outside, isn't it? Just ask an Indianapolis Colts fan last Saturday night. It was all over. It's about performance. Ask the person who's raising a child that wants them to be in all the different sports during the season and off season, and we go to those games to watch them. And there was a guy one time that had this crazy statement that said this: it doesn't make any difference whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game. Can I tell you what? It makes a difference whether you win or lose. I was watching last night on my phone, and I was listening at the same time to the Cardinal announcer in the bottom of the ninth when Carpenter got up and hit that shot, and Yadier Molina, who really shouldn't even be running anymore because of his age and his legs and being a catcher all those years, and he made it around from second to third to home, and we won! It makes a difference whether you win or lose, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah. And I know there are Reds fans, and one that's even glaring down the back of my shirt right now that wants to do nasty things to me. But we're all about performance. It even works its way into our relationships. It does. Yep. That person promised me, and then they didn't deliver. That person promised they'd come and do this, and they didn't do it. In our homes, they let us down. They don't perform like we want them to perform. And then sometimes we get so upset about it, we swing so far to the other way. We're like, well, I don't need anybody. Bless God. I can just do what I want. Let the rest of the world go flip sand. Well, Paul comes along in Galatians and says, that's not what it's about. It's not about this whole performance thing. God wants to do a work inside of us that will help us get beyond and separate from the performance thing. In fact, if you look at the scripture in Galatians chapter 4, I love these verses. It helps to read the whole letter, but we're not going to take time to do that. In the New Testament, Galatians chapter 4, he's speaking to them and telling them about this meshing together of the grace and the works and dealing with, and in their day they had performance issues too, because that's what this was about. You're not performing up to the law. That's where the struggle was. And Paul comes along, and whether it be in the first century or the 21st century, says this. In chapter 4 of Galatians, about verse 4, so at the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. There it is. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit. This is the good stuff here, verse 6. Has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Look at verse 7, Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. You are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Certain translations in there will get this thought at the fact that we are God's own child. Not only do we know him, but more importantly, he knows us. Please don't forget that. God knows you. God knows what's on the inside. God knows what you're designed for. God knows what your life is all about. Sometimes we don't feel it because we're looking at this like, man, this is just a generic old metal can, and that's what I'm feeling like right now. But God comes along, and on the inside he says, you are mine and I know you. I know you. We can be known by him. I want to ask you this morning just to allow the Holy Spirit just to slip in the pew right there with you and just say, guess what? God knows you. God loves you. God wants to be real in every part of your life. Leonard Ravenhill years ago said this, a man who is intimate with God will never be intimidated by others. A man who is intimate with God will never be intimidated by others. There are lots of situations in life where we can feel like we're intimidated. We're fearful. We want to run. We want to hide. But Ravenhill says this, stay intimate with God. He wants to know us and be a valuable part of our lives. Now, we're in chapter 4. Let's look at it and walk through it. Paul uses these verses to unpack the bondage that the law was continuing to have over people. The other day we went over to Summit, and if you go over to Summit Lake, there's a lot of trails. Well, like a lot of the parks around here, they have these trails, and we were on trail number 5. Trail number 5 is basically starting with trail number 1, and you do a little circle. It's about designed to be 1.25 miles, okay? But the problem is, if you don't pay attention to the sign, all of a sudden, trail number 5, you accidentally get stuck back onto trail number 1, and 1.25 miles becomes 2 miles. And you get to where you want to just kind of cuss a little bit, you know? But the good news is, you have these days a little device, if you choose to carry it with you, known as a cell phone, that has GPS on it. And I took that thing out of my pocket quickly as I was really getting upset and a little bit sweaty, and took that thing and hit it. And sure enough, I saw exactly where we were, in a bunch of trees on the GPS. I'm like, that's no fair. It doesn't show the trail. All I saw were trees. But I saw where Summit Lake was, and that we needed to be going this direction and not that direction. And within just a few 8-10 minutes or so, we were back and we were okay. The thing I want to share with you this morning as we look at the Holy Spirit is to understand that He sees our life from the GPS system. And when we feel like we're stuck down in that little area, He wants to just step right in and say, you know what? I'm in charge. You're my child. I'm in charge. You're going to be okay. It was a guidance counselor. He wants to be our great guide as we go through life. I think about my dad was a guidance counselor when he was in education for a number of years, a guidance counselor, which the term guidance counselor almost sounds redundant because you should just be called a counselor. Because isn't that right? I mean, a counselor gives guidance. So dad was that person. What he did was students would come in, Mr. Ballinger, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. And he, you know, they have that. And I don't know where I want to do with my life. And besides, I feel stuck and hurt. And he would ask questions and he would help guide them down that path to whether it be a career path or how to get along with fellow students or how to get along with the teacher or administrators. And he would help them through answering or listening to their answers to his questions. The Holy Spirit wants to do that as the GPS, as the guidance counselor to help us. That's what Paul is talking about here. As God's own child, He wants to get in our lives and do that. Another place in Scripture, I want to look at one more and then we'll get back to Galatians 4, is over in Romans. I love this because Paul basically is repeating himself to Christians in another setting, Romans chapter 8. He's talking about it here in Galatians 4, being a son of God, a child of God, the Spirit at work in you. In Romans 8, he basically says the same thing. In Romans 8, verse 15. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit. And that's a capital S, which means Holy Spirit. You received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. And look at Romans 8, verse 16. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Maybe if you only had the one verse to live in and think about, it would be that verse. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are His children. I sat with a family the last couple days, the Blevins family. Butch passed away yesterday evening. I talked to a lot of the kids who are now grown adults. And they looked at me with tears while Grandpa was in there wasting away and ready to go into eternity. And they said, he was, of course, our grandpa, but really the best dad you could ever ask for. He was a dad to us. Understand this. All of us can have this in our lives. Romans chapter 8, a dad to us. His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share in His suffering. There's going to be some times when suffering will happen. But the good news is we are His kids. We belong to Him. Now, there's some things that can get in the way of us realizing that He wants to be in our hearts and do life with us, to be our guidance counselor, to put us on the path, to empower us for life. There are two words I want to give you this morning that can get in the way. The first word is this, and it may just, neither one of these may make sense. Hopefully they will by the time we're at the end of the sermon. The first word is comfort. Obstacle that can get in the way, comfort. Maybe your life, now this sounds crazy, maybe your life is too safe. say, Pastor, you haven't walked with me. You have no clue how crazy my life is. But the thing is, we have all the comforts around us, clothing and shelter and automobiles and all these different things. And most of the time, most all of us don't have to worry where our next meal is coming from. We have all those creature comforts in life. And could it be that those comforts get in the way of us relying on God Himself? I'm not asking us to go out and do something stupid and make it look like, well, God, I need you now. I'm here hanging off the side of this bridge. Do your thing, God. We don't have to get into that wonderful life mentality. But we can see that those comforts don't get in the way. Comforts getting in the way. Francis Chan said this, I have felt closest to God when nearness to Him was a necessity. I felt closest to God when nearness to Him was a necessity. When you're in that waiting room at the hospital, or maybe the emergency room, or maybe you receive that phone call that none of us wants to receive about a loved one who has had an untimely transition from here to eternity. Comfort, at that moment, we don't think about the comforts. We don't think about our cars and our homes and our clothes and our stuff. We think about the fact we need to pray. You see something in the news, there's been a shooting in Odessa. Our thoughts and prayers go to Odessa. Yeah. There's a hurricane that's bearing down on the southeastern part of the country. All of a sudden, we need to pray for the people in the way in the path of that hurricane. All of a sudden, comfort just goes out the window and prayer comes in. God, we need you here. We need you right now. I think about when I was in college. Maybe you remember high school and college on test days. God, I need you right now. I used to pray a lot right before the professor came in those college classes. God, this is test day. I need help on my grade. This is it. This is the biggie. In college, they make it really tough because they're like, okay, this paper, this test will account for a quarter, a third, or possibly even half of your grade for this entire class. And you're like, oh God, I need help right now, please. And then I had a professor, Professor Hahn, who's now Dr. Hahn, he used to pray this prayer. Lord, help us to recall what we have studied in preparation for this test. I needed a lot more help than what I had prepared for in that test. How does Dr. Hahn know what I was studying? But how true that is. How true that is. I think of mission trips that help us get out of our comfort zone. And in a little bit in our offering time, we're going to encourage you to help give for Jeremy and Aaron who are going to Africa later in October on a mission trip. I think about those places that we go to that people have nothing. I've been in worship centers. You have too. Some of you have been on mission trips. They don't have windows. They don't have doors. Their floor is dirt. Their pews are pieces of wood that they just found in the woods somewhere and just laid out. There's the pew. And those people are so happy and they're singing and they're worshiping like forever and they're listening to sermons that go on and on. And some people I know, like, do we have to stand that whole time? Boy, I tell you what, those are people, they don't have any of the comfort. They're just going for it. God is all over the place. I remember this quote from years ago from Thomas Aquinas. He went in to visit the Pope. And the Pope took him back into this room. He says, I want to show you something. And the Pope said, look at all this stuff. And he opened this door, and here was this room that was just filled with all kinds of gold and silver, all kinds of treasures in this room. And the Pope said, you see that? He said, no longer does the church have to say, silver and gold have I none. He was pretty excited. Thomas Aquinas looked right at him and said, I understand that, sir. He said, but also, can the church say, rise up and walk? Do you really have the power you used to have? Because we get stuck in our comfort and we forget about our need of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Interesting story of missionaries back in the summer of 2007. The Taliban had taken them captive. They were from Korea. They're ministering in the Middle East. And they took them captive. These missionaries who were trying to bring Jesus to the Middle East in a very tough part of the world. The Taliban took them. And they got a hold of South Korea and they said, you cannot have these missionaries back until, and they made these list of demands. Before long, two of the missionaries had already been killed because South Korea took their time getting back with the response. The rest of them all huddled together and said, okay, here's the deal. We may not make this out alive. So we need to do about two or three things right here. First of all, we need to pray and make sure that our hearts are okay with God, that everything is good, that we're good to go. And they took that time and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed until they finally settled on the issue that everybody was okay. And if they all lost their life, in fact, there was a debate that went around the group, who would go first? Who would be the next one to be martyred? Because they were so ready. They took a Bible that one of the missionaries had and they tore it into pieces and started handing it to each other because they knew that they would be separated soon as they were. They were taken to all these different locations and they had just a little bit tucked away so the Taliban wouldn't find it. When the Taliban wasn't looking, they'd take it out and read a little scripture just to get encouragement, tucked it back in. Sure enough, all those remaining missionaries got to be delivered. They made an arrangement. They were all safe. They all got out. They met about a year or so later. And they were talking. They said, don't you miss that captivity? God was so real when we were right there on the edge of eternity. When we were right there, we were captive. They were going to kill us. They were going to take our lives. But wasn't God so real? We haven't felt God like that since we left that captivity. Sometimes our comfortable life could even be killing our faith. Another thing that can get in the way, and this would be another one that might strike a little close to home, is volume. Volume can get in the way. Maybe your life is too loud. Multitasking has become the norm. When was the last time you had an uninterrupted conversation with someone? You know? When was the last time you had an uninterrupted... I'm not talking about mom standing there and the kids like, mommy, mommy, mommy. I'm talking about the uninterrupted conversation where you're actually able to sit and talk to somebody face to face. Without the device sending you a message or somebody calling in. I've made it a habit now not to bring my phone, if at all possible, unless there's an emergency looming. I don't bring it into men's breakfast on Wednesday. I love to have my phone because my scripture's on my phone, so I take the little pocket testament that Don Harris gave me back in the year 2000 from the Gideons. Because my problem, me, maybe not you, but my problem is if I'm sitting there and Jerry's reading the scripture and all of a sudden somebody texts or I get a notification of an email, oh, somebody posted something on Facebook, squirrel. And like Jerry's over here giving a great devotion and we're praying, life is on, oh, there's that notification. Volume in our life, those things that just come at us and it could be way too loud. And could it be that we're trying to accomplish and do so many things and be so many places that we miss doing anything correctly? Right. We're missing the focus on anything, the important things. Dr. Caroline Leaf has a podcast entitled Cleaning Up the Mental Mess. I think that's a great title. She's got several episodes on this podcast. I listened this week after talking to the staff. I want to tell you something about a little bit. I listened to Dr. Caroline this week, two episodes that talk about social media. She said this back in 2018, the average person spends 8 hours a day on social media. 8 hours a day. Wow. I would love to have that for sleep time, you know? If I can get that in for sleep time, it's pretty awesome. But anyway, she was talking about this. We get to a point where we're scrolling through social media that we're not really focusing on anything. In fact, she says that the people that designed social media set it up to be much like a slot machine where those things just kind of scroll and scroll and scroll. And you know what happens? We're like, oh, and they even call it FOMO. Anybody ever heard of FOMO? Fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. And we're like, and I'm on Twitter, and I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram, and why did they post this, and how am I going to respond to that? And all of a sudden, it just takes up our day, and we're like, and it even starts to affect, and I'll go into detail about this in a little bit, what's going on around the blood vessels in our body, and how it affects our brain, and oxygen. There's all kinds of medical stuff that's been done with this. Now, some of you say, Pastor, not me. I don't have one of those smartphones. Most of us in the room have a television. I would say. Most of us in the room have either cable or satellite or some kind of opportunity for us to watch television. And it's not, I don't know, is there anybody in the room that only has three channels on your TV? You get excused. You only have three channels? Okay, all right. But you guys do have cell phones though. Okay, all right. So you're still in the game. All right, you're still in the game. All right, but anyway, because I share that because there's some people say, well, I don't have a smartphone. I don't know any of that stuff. But we have TV. And there are people, I'll just share, the folks that are in Missouri, for instance, that if Fox Sports is not on, oh, what are we going to do? We're going to have to listen to that on the radio. Oh, it's terrible. It's tragic. Because we're so caught up in all these things that are coming into our world, all these noises, this volume. Do we ever take time, and Dr. Leaf talks about this, just to put all that aside and just have what the old-timers would call a quiet time? All the voice is gone. Now, see, the reason I pick on the TV, folks, is because I have been one of them in the past where I don't really care what's on TV. I want to know what else is on TV, you know? And it's like during the commercial, flip, 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 flip. Oh, no, it's the last part of Wheel of Fortune. Are they going to get the big money, you know? Oh, it's the final round of Family Feud. Are they going to get the 200 points and all the money? And they're going to go crazy and kiss Steve and all that stuff. And I'm like, And in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit wants to come into my world and your world and says, wait a minute, turn down the volume. Dr. Leaf says, we are truly intellectual beings. Do we take time during the day to think deeply about things? To meditate? Now, as I was listening to the podcast, I got all excited. There's Scripture. There's the Bible. To take time during the day just to meditate on Scripture, just to take time during the day and read through this and maybe read it again and read it again. And sometimes even we get stuck. We're like, oh, I've got to read so many chapters today. I want to get so far in my Bible reading. But it's like, maybe it's just one verse. And maybe the verse for today is right there in Galatians 4, where God just says through Paul, guess what? You are His child. You are His heir. Don't live like slaves. And maybe that's just the thing that needs to roll around in my mind. I am not a slave to this expectation from that person. I'm not a slave to this outer appearance that everybody needs to see. This is how I dress. This is how I act. This is how I behave. I don't want to be. I'm a son of the Most High God, and I want Him to be filling my life and directing my life. I need to turn down the volume of stuff around me and allow Him to speak. She tells the story of Harvard study where they went in, professors anymore, school element, secondary as well as college. It's all about the tablets and all the other ways to do learning, you know. And they basically are taking books away, and there's all different kinds of studies for any of this. But Harvard did this study where they went into these professors and they said, okay, for 2 weeks, we just want you to get rid of all the social stuff, the computerized board, the tablets. Just pull out some books. Tell your students on Monday when we convene again on Wednesday, we want you to read 150 pages in this book, and then we'll talk about it Wednesday. Between Monday and Wednesday, the professors were going bonkers. They were having withdrawal. How can we do this? The tablet, the phone, the whatever, the whiteboard, all these other things, we're not able to do that. And by Wednesday, something started to happen when they came into class, and they said, did y'all read the 150 pages? Yes. Let's discuss. What did you see? And all of a sudden, dialogue started happening, and people started communicating with each other. Discussion took place, and it was electric because they had turned down the volume and started interacting face-to-face with each other again. Dr. Leaf says this, whatever we focus on, it develops and modifies our brain. Our mind will modify our brain. What if we turned off the external, focused more on the internal, and I'll say, to help Dr. Leaf, the eternal, and started thinking more and more about God and what He wants to do and be in our lives. There's a psalm, you don't have to turn to it, but I'll just give you the reference if you want to write it down, Psalm 46, verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. Throughout the day, Holy Spirit, I need to be still just to know that You are right there with me, that You've slipped in beside me, whether I'm in the car or walking through the store or I'm sitting at work down all this other stuff. To focus on what really matters. It helps a lot if it happens first thing in the morning. To be alone. In fact, Dr. Leaf says we have a hard time being alone with our thoughts. She said they took a test group and stuck them in a room. Just one person, one room. Light was on, no problem. But they had nothing. No phone, no TV, no communication. They just had to just sit there and think. Only for 16 minutes. 16 minutes. There was actually, in some of the rooms, a little device that you could push a button and give yourself on this finger a little shock. And there were some people that were so bored and so upset about being alone, they would give themselves a little shock just to buy the time. The Holy Spirit wants to move into our lives. See, social media can be used for a positive thing. It really can. She goes on in her teaching to say this: if you would take time to encourage other people, I challenge the staff to do that this week. Just go on other people's page and just take time to say, hey, I appreciate you so much. I'm so glad how God uses you to make a difference in the lives of people around you. I'm so glad for this accomplishment in your role. In fact, grab something off their page, put it on your page, and just boast on them. Just say, isn't God great? Look at what God's doing in this person's life. She said, and this is just scientific junk, basically conforming back to what the Bible teaches, you will have an increase, a 68% increase. You'll just feel so much better about yourself, that person, and life in general. So what about us Christians? What if we take the things that God has given us, God's word, prayer, interaction with each other, the saints of God, just to say, you know what? I'm just so thankful for you. I just am so grateful. I love you and I appreciate you and I'm grateful for what God's doing in your life. And you'll feel better about that person and they'll feel better about you. And it's just amazing how God can do stuff like that. Stuff like that. Because in life, there will be stress. You understand there is stress in life. You can't get out without stress, okay? I mean, we're all adults here. We know that. But the good news is we can channel that stress toward this effort, and that is allowing the Spirit to work. Because the stress, if we just get caught up in the cycle of all the junk that takes us away from the Word, that takes us away from our Creator, all of a sudden that stress is like a dripping. In fact, the doctor said that it can even constrict the vessels around the heart, which have a connection to the brain, and cause you to lack oxygen in the brain, which is not good for any of us. Not good for any of us. The goal is this: to focus on Him, to focus on God. Jesus didn't have a lot of social media in his day, but he did have the pressure of people pushing in around him. But we know what he did. He got away. He just took time just to get away. Just to get away. To find that quiet place. Maybe it's when you're in the car on the way to work. Take time. Listen to Scripture. Listen to Caleb. Listen to something that will help fill your heart and mind with God thoughts. On the way to the store, on the way out to eat, when you're taking your kids to school, your grandkids to school. What if you know all these people that are on social media, they're posting these pictures. This is their first day of school. This is the activity here. They did this. They did that. What if with each of those activities, you'd pause and say, you know what? Not on social media, but just grab them aside and say, you know what? That is a great accomplishment. Let's just pray and thank God for being with you when you accomplish that. This is the first day of school. Let's just pray and ask God to go with you as you go into the fifth grade, the seventh grade, whatever grade you're going into. You're going to practice for this sport. You're going to be in the school drama. Whatever you get, let's just pray and ask God to use you as you go do that. Just ask the Holy Spirit to be part of all this stuff. My admonition is this: don't let the baggage keep you from enjoying the intimacy. I know there are all kinds, we all have stories. I've joked before, I'm glad I didn't grow up around here because you don't know my story, you know? There's just things you don't want to know about my past, okay? I'm not happy about it either, okay? Some people have a past, oh, back in the day, I was just one tough son of a gun. Well, I don't want you to know about my back in the day. I'm just glad Jesus brought a change and is continuing to change me from back in the day. That's what matters. But the good news is this: He knows us. Whether we have a past of drugs, alcohol, horrible family background, all the stuff of life activities, God knows us. He told through Paul to the church at Galatia, I know you. You're mine. You're mine. I love the scripture. It talks in Jeremiah 29:11, the plans that God has for us. A little bit later in chapter 29 of Jeremiah, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, declares the Lord. I like that. It's not just a promise. It's a declaration. God himself, through the prophet Jeremiah, says, declares the Lord, this will happen. You know, sometimes we as parents, we do that to our kids, and they know whether or not we mean business. Can I just tell you, when God says in the Word, declares the Lord, He means business, and it will happen. It will happen. We talked a few weeks ago about a demonstration. Now we're talking about a declaration. The good news is this, is He knows you. He knows you. Paul Shaver is going through the battle of his life. And in a couple of weeks, I want to interview him a little more and visit with him about that. But there's one thing that Paul, a couple things that Paul talks about. First of all is this. He says, I've never had a bad day in my life. After 10 to 12 years of dealing with what he's dealt with, wow. The second thing he says is, I'm glad that he knows me. He knows me. Let's take a moment and stand together. Would you stand with me, please? with heads bowed and eyes closed, and if Lorraine could just come and play something, just a moment of prayer. If you'd like to come and kneel at the altar this morning at the front of the church here, you're invited to do that. Is there anything you just need to give to Him? Do you say, you know what, Jim? The stuff of life is getting in the way. The volume is choking out my opportunity and availability to really listen to God and to know the truth that He knows me. And I just want to come and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come and to be that guidance counselor that just speaks into my life moment by moment, day by day. Maybe you'd like to step out and pray about that this morning. Anything you want to just come and give to Jesus, just to come to the altar and just to pray, to kneel here or to sit on the front pew. Lord, thank You so much. Thank You that You know our name. Thank You that You watch out for us. Even before we were born, there was something that was happening in the life of a mom somewhere that we were being knit together. Your word tells us we were being knit together. And You were starting to program into these unborn bodies plans and goals and dreams and ambitions and joys and thrills and excitement. And all through life, if we will just wake up to that realization and open ourselves up and say, you know what, God, I need Your help. You know what, Holy Spirit, come inside. Come inside. The outside could look all different kinds of ways, but God, we need You on the inside. Holy Spirit, I need Your help on the inside. I want my life, my heart, my mind to be programmed in ways that reflect You at work. Oh, Lord, we just seek You this morning. And Lord, we need that. We need You. We need You. We need You. Be with the needs at these altars. Be with the needs throughout the sanctuary. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege of gathering with the family today. For the time together, Jesus, just to celebrate You. We think about the psalm that we sang earlier that says, as the deer pants for streams of water, my soul thirsts for You, Jesus. That's what we're doing today. We're hungering and thirsting for You, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You. Fill us, we pray. Help us, we pray. Speak in. Help the volume around us to be just turned down and turned down and turned down to where the heart of God can speak inside of us. And may we go through life looking that direction, upward, and knowing that You're dealing with us inward. Thank You, Jesus. Take the clutter away and fill us with Yourself, with Your joy, with Your excitement. We love You. We bless You. We praise You. Again, whatever needs are here, Lord, we commit them to You, knowing that You hear us, knowing that You're already at work. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.